Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Go For It. I'm your host, Paul Gannon. For the next hour and a half, we will be talking sports and having fun doing it. I want all your ideas, all your opinions, and all your beliefs. And of course, as always, you will get a heavy dose of my opinion. If you have an opinion, remember to call 646-727-3070. That's 646-727-3070. You can listen to the show at blogtalkradio.com/pgant. That's blogtalkradio.com/pgant. You can send messages to the show on Twitter at GoForItGant, and while you're there on Twitter, give me a follow at GoForItGant. Big show lined up for you today. Expected to be joined by a star of BET's Let's Stay Together, Mr. Burt Belasco. He's going to stop on by. We're going to talk about that great show, and we're also going to talk about the NBA Finals, and also we're going to be joined by the great Willie Rofe, who's going to stop on by, and of course, we're going to talk NBA Finals with him, and we're going to have a good old time. So, Willie Rofe, Burt Belasco, should be a great, great, great show. And we got to start off. We got to start off with the NBA Finals. And as I'm talking to you now, Game 2 is about to get underway. I mean, it's a lot of storylines right now. And you look at it, what happens tonight? I mean, a lot of people critical of LeBron James. He had 30 points, 9 rebounds, and 4 assists, but he only scored 7 points in the fourth quarter. I mean, I don't really know what else he can do. I mean, 30 points, 9 rebounds, 4 assists. That's do it all. That's essentially do it all. Somebody else has to help him. And that someone else who needs to help him is Dwayne Wade. I mean, Dwayne Wade, in a lot of ways, he struggled in Game 1. He was not himself and has not really been himself throughout the course of these playoffs. He's been very ordinary in a lot of ways throughout the course of these playoffs and has not played very well. And I kind of thought he was forcing the action a little bit in that particular ball game, Game 1. He was 7 for 19 from the field, had 3 turnovers as well. He just did not seem right. And him not being right and looking right, I mean, he struggled. He struggled throughout the course of the game. And ultimately, it cost the Miami Heat. They needed somebody else to step up. And they didn't get that next person to step up. I mean, Battier was a guy who they got an unexpected 17 points from. But you're not going to expect to get that from him night in and night out. You're not going to expect to get 17 points from Shane Battier. And this is a guy throughout, I mean, he did have a decent game, 7, 12 points. But before that game 7, he only had 8 points against the Boston Celtics. And, I mean, he's averaged only 4 points a game throughout the course of this year. So you're not going to expect to get 17 big points from Shane Battier like you got this time around. They're going to need guys to step up. Chris Bosh only gave you 10 points. Right now, he has been inserted into the starting lineup, a move that the Heat really had to make. You had to put Chris Bosh in the starting lineup. You need his offense. You need his offense, and the hope is that he's going to open it up for LeBron and open it up for D. Wade. I mean, he's been very consistent hitting that outside jumper throughout the course of these playoffs. And, well, you know, other than the time he's been injured, the time he's been there, he's been consistent in terms of hitting that jump shot, but you need him. You need his points. You need what Chris Bosh brings to the table. And you need him in your starting lineup. This is not the Boston Celtics. LeBron James cannot single-handedly beat. He cannot single-handedly beat this team. He can't single-handedly beat the explosive Oklahoma City Thunder. Especially when you have guys like Durant who can put up 30, 36 the other night. Guys like Westbrook who can also put up 30, 27 the other night. I mean, and even James Harden didn't even have a James Harden caliber game. He didn't have a James Harden caliber game the other night. Harden only scored 5 points. Nick Collison obviously gave him some big time minutes, but you only got 5 points from James Harden. Are you going to get that again? Probably that number is going to go up. So you're going to expect more from James Harden. I know at the beginning of this series, I had the Miami Heat winning this series in six. And it's kind of, after watching game one, it's getting harder and harder to justify that pick. In my mind, I'm wondering to myself, are the Oklahoma City Thunder, are they just too explosive for the Miami Heat? And the thing about Oklahoma City is they defend. Miami defends as well, but Oklahoma City turned up that pressure against the Miami Heat in that second half. And it looked like the Heat offense became stagnant. It was pretty much drives by LeBron, drives by D. Wade. I mean, other than that, that's all you were getting throughout the course of that fourth quarter. And D-Wade, again, he's gotten a pass. He has gotten a pass throughout the course of these playoffs. Everybody's coming at LeBron James. But LeBron James is the reason this ball club is here. This is his team. This is LeBron's team. And I think LeBron has to go back to playing the way he's played in Cleveland many years ago, and I think he has, and I think he will continue to do so. But my concern is, I'm not sure if that's enough. I'm not sure if that's going to be enough. LeBron James playing the way he's played in Cleveland, I don't know if that's going to be enough with this explosive Oklahoma City Thunder team. I'm not sure if that's going to be enough. Oklahoma City is going to score. That's the one thing you can guarantee with Oklahoma City. They're going to score. And this is going to be a difficult team to defend. And Kevin Durant, I mean, the guy can score in so many different ways, and that's what makes him so effective. His ability to score off the dribble. His ability to score or coming off screens. His ability to do all those different things makes him a very, very tough player to guard. He can do a lot. He can score off the dribble. He can kill you off screens, as he just missed a three now. But the guy can do it all. He can truly do it all. He's a do-it-all type of player. Kevin Durant is a do-it-all type of player in terms of scoring, in terms of shooting the basketball off screens, in terms of beating guys off the dribble. He's do-it-all. But we shall see what happens tonight. I'm just having a hard time as I watch game one. And game one, to me, you had it. It was so similar to game six of the Spurs-Thunder game, where you had it where early on the Miami Heat jumped out early, got the decent lead, 13-point lead. Battier was hitting threes. And it was so similar to game six with the Spurs, where you had Steven Jackson killing it from downtown and the Spurs getting off to such a great start. That second half, though, in that third quarter, just like in that game against the Spurs, just like game six against the Spurs, Oklahoma City just pushed up the pressure. They just ratcheted up the pressure, and they just shut down the Spurs. And in a lot of ways, that's what they did against the Miami Heat in game one. They shut down the Miami Heat in that second half. The Miami Heat could not score. They just took it over in that second half, and just Westbrook did his thing, and Durant did his thing in the fourth quarter. And ultimately, Oklahoma City took game one. But this is going to be, and if you're the NBA, you got to be in love right now. I mean, you got to be just loving what's going on right now. I mean, you have an opportunity. You have arguably the two best players in the game, LeBron James and Kevin Durant. You got all those superstars with Miami. You got the superstars with OKC. I mean, you got to be very excited right now if you're the NBA. This is probably, other than maybe the Lakers, Heat, this is probably the best matchup you can get if you're the NBA. This is probably the best matchup you can get. This is the best matchup you can get. I mean, these are the two best teams in the game, and you had them in the NBA Finals. Yeah, you got to be excited. And the two best teams happen to be teams who have superstars. And this is a superstar-filled NBA Finals. Durant, Westbrook, Wade, and LeBron James. You got four of the best players in the game, the better players in the game, in this NBA final. You cannot ask for a better situation if you're David Stern. You cannot ask for a better situation if you're David Stern. And Kevin Durant showed that he was a superstar in game one, the way he played in that fourth quarter. The 17 big points in that fourth quarter. And in doing so, Kevin Durant impressed a lot of people, and he's been impressing a lot of people throughout the course of this year. Right now, I mean, if you would say, who would you rather have, LeBron James or Kevin Durant? I'm still saying LeBron James because he can do more, but I'm starting to waver a little bit. The thing about Kevin Durant, he's such a pure scorer. And I said it earlier, he can score in so many ways. So many ways this man can score. He can score the basketball in so many ways. And that's what makes him so, so effective. And that's what made him so, so effective in that fourth quarter where he dropped 17 points. The question becomes, are we going to see LeBron James more on Durant in this particular ball game than we saw in game one? And LeBron spent some time, and LeBron is watching the game, is currently on Kevin Durant, but LeBron spent a lot of time with Westbrook because Westbrook was getting off on Dwayne Wade. So LeBron switched over to him. It's almost like LeBron has to be LeBron if the Heat want to win this series. He has to be LeBron James, but Dwayne Wade has to be Dwayne Wade. Dwayne Wade is going to have to be Dwayne Wade, the 2006 Dwayne Wade, the Dwayne Wade that pretty single-handedly got Miami a championship. They're going to need that Dwayne Wade. They're going to need that particular guy to step up in this particular game and in this series. They're going to need him to step up. And can Dwayne Wade do it? Is he healthy enough to do it? And those are questions that has to be answered. And I see Bosch is in the starting lineup, and Bosch is starting at center. And that was the move I thought that should have been made. Bosch needed to be in that lineup because you need what he brings to the table. You need his scoring. And I think it's going to be a benefit for Miami because you look at it this way. Okay, if Ibaka takes Bosch, Bosch can take Ibaka out of the lane, and now that's going to affect the defense for Oklahoma City. Ibaka's a big-time shot blocker. You take him away for the paint, and that helps driving lanes, and that helps LeBron James and D-Wade to get to the lane and not have that last line of defense there waiting for him in Serge Ibaka. If you put Kendrick Perkins on Chris Bosh can use his speed, his athletic ability to get by Perkins and do his thing. So putting Chris Bosh in the lineup was something that had to be done. The Miami Heat had to put him in the lineup. This is not Boston. This is not the Boston Celtics. This is a whole totally different animal. This is a totally different animal than the Boston Celtics. So you need Bosch to be in that starting lineup. You need him in that starting lineup if you have or if you want a chance to win this game in this series. You're going to need that guy in the starting lineup. And I said this, I mean, you want this guy, I think him having playing the center position is a great, great spot for him. So I think the Heat, Eric Spoelstra, did the right thing by putting Chris Bosh into the starting lineup. They did the right thing here in putting Chris Bosh in the starting lineup. The right thing. They did the right thing. And so we'll see how much this pays off, putting Bosh in the starting lineup. Right now, the Heat are off to a good start. Off to a good start, up 13-2 early on in this particular ball game. But they got off early last time. So in a lot of ways, how much does that really mean? Especially the way Oklahoma City scores the basketball. They're going to score their points. They're going to score their points. Now, the thing about OKC, though, Russell Westbrook can get erratic at times. Westbrook can be erratic. So you got to look at that. And one thing OKC did, which was a great, great pickup. Excuse me. You remember last year when Eric Maynor was in the mix. Eric Maynor went down earlier this year with a torn ACL. But in the playoffs, he was a guy that would come in last year and stabilize OKC, run the offense like a traditional point guard. And they missed Eric Maynor. They missed what he brought to the table. But one thing that OKC did, which was a great, great move, was bring in Derek Fisher, a guy that's won championships, a guy who's a leader, has been a leader everywhere he's been, Lakers, Utah, now OKC. He's been a leader. Bringing him in gives you another guy and a veteran guy with a voice, a veteran guy who's won championships, a veteran guy that players are going to respect. Bringing him in was a big-time move for OKC, a big-time move, a big move. So the Derek Fisher move was big for Oklahoma City. A stabilizer, a veteran guy. And he did a decent job in game one, coming off the bench, scored some points for OKC in that second quarter. He did some things in the second quarter for OKC. But everybody, we know LeBron James is the MVP of the regular season. But the question becomes, is he the MVP? I mean, is the true MVP going to be Kevin Durant? And I think it was similar to last year. Derrick Rose was the MVP of the league of the regular season. But Dirk Nowitzki was the true MVP. Dirk Nowitzki was the true MVP last season. He was the guy. He was the best player in the league last year. And he proved it throughout the course of those playoffs. And it could be a similar situation right here with Kevin Durant and LeBron James. Kevin Durant was a guy that many thought could and should have been the MVP. But LeBron James won, and you can't really argue with that. But the bottom line here, though, will Kevin Durant show everyone that he is the true MVP? Is he going to show everyone that he is the true MVP? LeBron James was the MVP of the regular season. But will Kevin Durant show us that he is the true MVP by being the MVP? I mean, he's been dominant throughout the course of these playoffs. And he's dominant in game one, obviously. Will he continue to be that guy and ultimately be the reason Oklahoma City wins this series? And will he be the best player in this series? And I talked about, I thought LeBron James was a better player because of some of the things, his passing ability, his ability, his defense, his ability on the defensive end, his rebound ability. But Kevin Durant, 36 points, 8 rebounds, 4 assists. I mean, his numbers in terms of the other categories was pretty identical to what LeBron James put up in that particular ball in game one. And I'm not talking about scoring. Obviously, his scoring was more, Kevin Durant. But I'm talking about those other numbers, the rebounding numbers, the assist numbers. Very similar to LeBron James. But if you look at the regular season with Kevin Durant, talking about the other numbers, 8 rebounds a game, which is up there with LeBron James. But the 3 assists is not LeBron James-like. And you're talking about LeBron James, who has 6 assists and averaged 7.9. So you could pretty much say average 8 rebounds during the regular season. So you look at that, but you got to look at, and looking at game one, I look at that and I say LeBron, yes, can do more in terms of rebound, in terms of the assist, in terms of the defensive end. But you look at Kevin Durant and what he did with the other numbers. We know the 36 big points, but what about the 8 rebounds in game one? What about the other numbers with Kevin Durant? And his numbers, and talking about the other numbers, the rebounds and the assists, were pretty much the same as LeBron James. Actually, he had one more rebound than LeBron James. No, actually, LeBron had one rebound more than Kevin Durant, excuse me. But the assists are the same. The other numbers are the same. The question becomes, if Kevin Durant and Oklahoma City win this series, and Kevin Durant is the MVP in this series, will he or has he surpassed LeBron James? Has he surpassed LeBron James? And right now, Miami is up 18-2 early in the first quarter. Let's bring in now a guy who knows a lot about being great and doing great things on the field, the one, the only, the great Willie Rose. Willie, how are you, sir?
How are you doing today?
Doing well. Thank you for joining us.
The only thing I got to say about it right now is it's still early in the game. I'm not going to say he surpassed LeBron because LeBron and him are two different types of players. He's more of a scorer, and LeBron is more of a facilitator. But, you know, you can't let Durant score 17 points in the fourth today. They're off to a great start because they got LeBron on Durant, and they started Bosh this game, which I think they should have started him before because he can at least get the boards. They killed the Heat on the boards late in the game. Last game, and if the Heat want to win, they're going to have to control the boards a lot better than they did last game.
And rebounds. And talking about Chris Bosh, the point I made earlier, I was saying the good thing about having him in the lineup and playing center is you have him now. If Ibaka guards him, he's going to bring Ibaka away from the paint, so that's going to open things up for the drivers, Wade and LeBron. And if Perkins guards him, he has the quickness advantage over Perkins, where he can get off on Perkins. So I think it's a great, great move to put him back in the starting lineup.
Well, you're correct. I just, you know, and I think, you know, it's going to bring Ibaka out. They like you said, they've been playing I didn't like the way the rotation was going for the Heat last game, and I don't know what you're waiting on to start. And this is the first time these guys have started together in the Heat lineup all year, and it seems to be making a difference. Also, you know, late in the game, they're going to have to figure out what Dwayne Wade's going to have to give him something late in the game, and he's got to defend. You know, he's got to be able to take Cephalosha or Westbrook, and he's going to have to defend Westbrook or you put somebody in there that can defend him late in the game.
And let's talk about Dwayne Wade, a guy. Game one, 7-for-19. Did not seem right. Seemed like he forced some things in that particular ball game. Everybody's been getting on LeBron James throughout the course of these playoffs, and even
you
in game
you
one.
You can't get on him for the way he's playing in the playoffs, though.
You can. And that's my point. I mean, the guy has done it all. He's done it all throughout the course of these playoffs, 30-10 against the Celtics, his average in that particular series. And then a guy who had 45 points, I mean, Wilt Chamberlain-type numbers, 45 points, 15 rebounds against the Celtics in Game 6 in a game that they could have lost or would have lost. If they would have lost, they would have been out of these playoffs. So he's done it all. And I think Dwayne Wade is getting a free pass here.
There you go. And now if you're looking at the game right now, if they can find a way to get Dwayne Wade with a nice move to get Durant a foul, if you can get Durant or Westbrook or one of those guys, if I'm the Heat, I got to get Durant or I got to get Westbrook, one of those key guys in foul trouble. If you get Durant in any type of foul trouble, if LeBron will post him up when he's guarding him or when he switches off on the guy, he will post him up. I know Wade can't post him up, but LeBron can post Kevin Durant up more. So I will be looking to try to get Kevin Durant in foul trouble so he can't be the one that's killing me in the fourth quarter late in the game, which he's done to all his teams throughout the series. He's the key. In the fourth quarter, they're going to Kevin Durant, and he's taking over the game.
And looking at it now, I mean, I looked at Game 1, and I had the Heat winning this series in 6. And I look at Game 1, and obviously every game is a different game. Different things happen in each particular game. But my thought is this. I'm not sure that the Miami Heat can stick with this ball club in terms of scoring. I don't know if they can score with this team. And that's my concern. I think LeBron can put up the big numbers, but I'm not even sure, even if LeBron puts up his big numbers and even if Wade puts up his numbers, that the Heat can still outscore them, Oklahoma City Thunder. What do you think? What are your thoughts on that?
If they can keep James Harden under check, who just made a bucket. James Harden only hit 5 points in Game 1. I don't think he's going to have a game where he only hits 5 points for the rest of this series. So it's going to be important for the Heat to slow when Westbrook or when Durant is not in the game to not let James Harden get going. But the problem that I see with the Oklahoma Thunder are if Battier and Chalmers can keep playing the Bay the way they're playing offensively, they can offset that. The only thing I see the difference in this series than I see when you play a Boston is the shooting lanes and the shots are way more wide open, and I want to see the Heat play a little bit sounder defense and not let them get to the rim so easy, because I did not see guys getting to the rim this easy when you played in the Boston series. And the game, when the game slows down, you got to slow them down in the half-court offense. But it seems like it's more of a fast-paced game, more up and down. I want to see the Heat start to pick up on the defensive end and slow them down, and then late in the game be able to take over. Because against Boston, I didn't see Chalmers and Battier getting the wide open looks they're getting in this series. Somebody was getting out, getting the head in their face.
And I look at this, game, and I look at this series right now, and looking at Miami, the way they played, especially when it got tight in that fourth quarter, and they were a team not playing in transition, but they were playing in the half court. And in playing in the half court, they weren't getting good shots. And that's the thing with Miami. If you slow them down, if you keep them out of transition, this is a team that's going to have – they have a hard time in the half court game. They have a hard time in the half court game. And in that third quarter and even in that fourth quarter, they weren't getting out. They were playing half court basketball, and they struggled.
You would think with a jump shooting team, Miami can find a way for that to be to their advantage. Miami's got the most experience. You keep Bosh in the lineup, and you do what you got to do, you know, defensively. But you would think with a younger jump shooting team that Miami would Oklahoma City would be the team to struggle in the fourth quarter. But the problem is when you let Kevin Durant have 17 in the fourth, then they're not going to struggle because he's the only one scoring. Take the ball out of Kevin Durant's hand, run a zone, or box him in where he has to pass the ball, similar to what the Lakers did, so you get it out of his hands, make somebody else beat you. But I'm not going to let Kevin Durant beat me in this series. You know what he did to Dallas? You know what he did to the Lakers? Take the ball out of Kevin Durant's hand, make somebody else beat you in the fourth. But you would think with the experience with Wade, Bosh and LeBron James that they should be able to drive some plays or something to make it easy for them to score with three guys that so two of the best five top players in the NBA, and then you got Bosh in the middle of that too, and have some shooters out there. You should think that they should be able to score some backers.
And let's play hypothetical here. Hypothetically speaking, and this is my concern. I had the Heat winning this series in six. But hypothetically speaking, Harden has his best game. Durant has his best game, and Westbrook has his best game. And then Miami, their big three, has their best game. Who would win that particular ball game? And that's very hypothetical in a lot of ways. But I'm thinking about it. If each player, the three stars on each team, played at their best, I'm thinking Oklahoma City would win the ball game.
Well, if you're talking about Harden, well, I think it will be a close game, like you said. It's going to come down to who executes better in the fourth quarter. I think it's going to be an up-and-down ball game, just like this game is going to be a good game, just like the Heat took off the last time. But in the fourth quarter, when you're shooting jump shots, some of those rebounds were long, and it's harder for them to get the rebound on the long jump shot. But the Heat gave up way too many second chance opportunity points,
right.
And you're not. And if the Heat play better defense, you can't let Kevin Durant hit double digits on you in the fourth quarter. Now, if he has 89 points and 7 like LeBron had, I can live with that. But when you let him get over 10, 15, 12, 17 points, you're not going to win. So the defensive effort on Kevin Durant has to tighten up in the fourth quarter. Then it changes the outcome of the ball game. Because I want to see who else can win the ball game for them other than Kevin Durant in the fourth quarter. I know James Harden made a big shot in the last series, but I want to see, can they do it for two or three games? Who's going to make the big bucket when we put the clamps on Kevin Durant and get the ball out of his hands?
And you talked about LeBron James. Let's talk about his game one. 30 points, 9 rebounds, 4 assists. Everybody's always talking about the fourth quarter. Only had 7 points. But 7 points in the fourth quarter, last I checked, is not a bad number. That's not a bad number. I mean, if you score 7 points in each quarter, that's 28 points. So 7 points in the fourth quarter is not awful. I mean, were we too hard on him? The media, a lot of members in the media, are they being too hard on LeBron James?
I think they are being a little too hard on him, and I think they're being too – James Harden just makes another bucket. I think they're being too soft on Dwayne Wade. Dwayne's 12-19. He's getting off to a slow start in the last two series. LeBron really picked it up in the last series, but it's the NBA Finals. And if LeBron wants to be called king, which my friend John Flowers says, I'm not going to call him king. What is he king of? Ohio high school basketball, because he hadn't won a ring yet. So if he wants to be called King James and not LeBron James, you got to start getting rings. So I agree with you that they are being a little hard on him, but for a guy that's making as much money as LeBron and has got 3 MVPs, do you expect that with the territory? And, you know, he's going to have to figure out what he's got to do to help them win and play a bigger role, bigger than what he has been in the fourth quarter of this series.
That he does. He definitely does have to come up big in this particular series if he wants to silence the critics, and the critics are out there, and they're screaming loud and very clear about LeBron James and his inability to get it done in the NBA Finals. And it should be interesting throughout the course of these finals. And looking at this game now, Willie, the Heat are off to a good start. If the Heat lose this game, can they still win this series?
If what now? What'd you say?
If they lose this particular ball game, can they or will they still win this series?
They will have a chance to win the series because they have 3 at home going back to Miami, but it does make it real tough. If they lose this series and then they win 3 at home, then they got to win 1 out of 2. But I don't know if they can beat Oklahoma City. I don't know if they can beat Oklahoma City, 4 out of 5. So I think the Heat, this is a real important game for the Heat. I think they need to win this game. And I think if they win this game, they get 2 out of 3 at home. And then it comes back to Oklahoma City, a 3-2 series with 2 games left. So I think if they win this game, I still don't think they win 3 at home. But I think they can win this series in 6 or 7 if they win this game tonight.
And I look at it, and I agree with you. I mean, they're not going to win all those 3 games, the 3 games that they have in Miami. They're not going to win all three of those games. 2 out of 3 is the most likely scenario. So to your point, I think they have to win this one. I think this one's almost, with the 2-3-2 format, I think this game is almost a must-win for the Miami Heat.
It is.
Because it's going to be difficult to beat any team three straight times.
Three straight times.
Regardless of where it's at. It's going to be difficult to beat any team three straight times, especially a team as good as Oklahoma City. So I think this is a must-win game for the Miami Heat because of what you said and because of those three games. Now, if the series was the 2-2-1-1-1 format, then I think they could afford to lose this game. Obviously, it would still be hard, but with the 2-3-2 format, this is a must-win game.
It is a must-win game. As good as these two teams are, I don't think you beat Oklahoma City on a neutral site three straight games. I mean, forget if it's home court in Oklahoma City. They're just too talented. But I do feel like you, they can win two out of three at home. This is an important game. And I think I look at it like this. If the Heat can make the right adjustments during this game, I think that plays a critical role in the rest of these series. Because if you can slow down Kevin Durant and you can make some of these young boys have to stand up and be more accountable, I give the advantage to the Miami Heat with the experience and with Dwayne Wade, Bosh, and LeBron having been to the finals a couple times. I have to give the experience to the veteran team if the Heat can figure out a way to slow Durant down late in the game and they can put some of the emphasis on some of the younger guys to step up.
And we look at Oklahoma City, and they got great production off the bench in game one from Nick Collison. He did work for them and got some big-time offensive rebounds. I know there was a situation in that fourth quarter where he got the big offensive rebound, threw it out to Durant, who hit the three. I mean, that was one of the biggest plays in that particular ball game. And even that dunk that he had off the Durant pass.
Well, and then he got the dunk from Westbrook. There was a penetration. There was a penetration dunk anyway. But he had a huge game. The penetration to late in the game with those little picks up high, what they do, the Ginobili step or the Dwayne Wade step, Westbrook was getting to the bucket too easy. And, you know, as long as Westbrook is, it's not going to take him but a step or two to get close to the bucket anyway. But they got to slow down that penetration late in the game, and they got to slow down Kevin Durant. If they can slow down the penetration to the basket, and if they can contain Kevin Durant and keep him under 10 points in the fourth quarter, under 10 points, Paul, I give the advantage to the Heat as far as taking control of the series.
And when we look at this game and look at this first quarter of this game too, Miami got off to a great start, but Oklahoma City, the lead is only 12 at the end of the first quarter, and I think that's a win for Oklahoma City.
It's a win for Oklahoma City, except for Kevin Durant got two fouls. So Kevin Durant already got two fouls in his first period. So that's, like I said, if you can get him in matchups where you can get him some fouls, and you get him in foul trouble, I think they're in trouble, period. If you get Kevin Durant, you know, where they're worried about his minutes and where he's thinking about fouls, maybe he doesn't play it aggressively. But, you know, if you can get him in foul trouble in any kind of way, I think that's going to favor the Miami Heat. And other than the fact that you're right, it's a 12-point game, I do like the fact that he has two fouls already.
And Westbrook has two fouls as well, so that is a good situation for the Miami Heat, being down in this series
and the Heat got in the penalty, going to get in the penalty probably earlier, whereas last game Oklahoma City controlled the penalty and they made a bunch of free throws and they won the penalty earlier. If the Heat can control the fouls and the Heat get in the penalty earlier, late in the game, that's going to help the Heat also in this game.
And Willie, what happens after game two? Who wins this game? Miami Heat up 27-15 after the first quarter. Do they hold that lead and ultimately tie the series 1-1?
It gets tight during the game, but I think Miami finds a way to win this game, and they go back to Miami with the series tied at 1-1 after the night.
So you like Miami to win this particular ball game, and ultimately close game or do the Heat?
Close game. If Oklahoma City gets in some foul trouble and they don't make a run, you know, Miami can run it up on you too. But I think the scoring power, they get a little closer. But I do like Miami with tying the series up with the adjustments I see the Spoelstra made. I think Miami ties the series up at 1-1.
And I'm going to ask you to make a prediction now moving forward throughout this whole series now. I'm going to ask you to make a prediction now. I mean, Oklahoma City's up 1-0. You believe Miami will come back and tie this series 1-1 after tonight. So, theoretically, what's your belief that this series will be 1-1, headed back to Miami for 3 games? Who wins this series? Who wins this series, OKC or Miami?
I would say that Miami's going to figure out a way to slow down Kevin Durant in this series, and I would say Miami will win this series in 6, maybe 7, because of the experience, and I think they figure them out this year, and Miami finds a way to slow them down offensively the course of the series, and they find a way to win it.
So they find a way to stop Durant, Westbrook, Harden, Ibaka's shot blocking ability. They find a way to do all those things, and they win this series.
They find a way to stop. They find a way to figure them out because of the experience. I think they have more experience, and I think the experience will help them to prevail in this series. It's going to be hard, but I think late in the game, Miami makes some plays in the course of this series to help them win this series.
Well, I have Miami winning this thing in 6, and I'm going to stick to that. I think they do get the win tonight, and ultimately I think they win 2 out of 3 games in Miami, and they take care of business in OKC for game 6. That's the way I see it. But if they lose tonight, they lose the series. They have no shot being down 2-0 with the 2-3-2 format. No shot whatsoever to win this series if they lose tonight. And real quickly now, Willie, I want to switch gears now to the boxing match this past Saturday. Bradley Pacquiao. Obviously, we saw a robbery there. It was a robbery.
You heard what happened. Well, my thoughts on it are Pacquiao, is trying to change his life around. He cut out a lot of people he was dealing with. He cut out a lot of the gambling he was doing in Vegas. He cut out a lot of some of the people he was hanging with in the United States that were kind of taking a lot of money from him. And then he let Bob Arum go before the fight. And he had been with Bob Arum for a long time. And Bob Arum, I think, represents Tim Bradley, too. So I think all that set up for the fact that even though Tim Bradley didn't do enough to win that fight, and I know they said late in the fight Manny Pacquiao didn't win those rounds. You can say that or not, but Manny Pacquiao was hitting with more of the power punches throughout the fight, and it looked like he had Tim Bradley stumbled a few times. So obviously, Pacquiao won the fight, but the fact that he let his promoter go, and his promoter's got an up-and-coming fighter, they were going to push that, whatever they were going to do to make it go to a rematch. And this is my thing with the whole deal is, if you're going to have a big title fight, have some big-time judges doing the fight. I don't want no judge that hadn't been doing a bunch of big fights with that one of those judges hadn't been doing. If I'm going to have a title fight, I need judges that have been through the ringer and know the in and out, and I'm going to get some judges that are not from Las Vegas to come in and do the judging. I'm not going to let an in-town judge that might have some influence by people that are in the city, whatever the people may be that are promoting the fight, I'm going to bring some judges that are not from around Vegas to come in and do the judging that have a lot of judging experience.
And we'll leave it there, Willie. Good to have your thoughts as always. Enjoy the rest of the game, and we'll see what happens.
All right, thank you.
The great Willie Rofe, 11-time Pro Bowler. Man has done it all in athletics. He is a Hall of Famer, and he's done it all. He talked about Pacquiao and Timothy Bradley. And in looking at that fight, back at that fight, and this is a true story here with myself, I bought the fight Saturday night. A lot of regrets there, a lot of regrets in buying that fight. But, I mean, it is what it is. Life is life, and you live and you learn. But in buying the fight, interesting story, around the 10th round, I had a long day, did a beautiful show as always on a Saturday, and I dozed off and I fell asleep during the fight. And I woke up, and when I woke up, I saw Timothy Bradley on top of the ropes celebrating with the belt in hand. And I immediately asked my father-in-law and my wife, Bradley knocked him out? Bradley knocked Pacquiao out? How did he win? And then, unbeknownst to me, they tell me that Manny Pacquiao had lost the decision to Timothy Bradley. And I'm saying to myself, how is this possible? How is this possible? How is this possible? How did Timothy Bradley win the fight? How did a man who was out-connected by almost 90, out-connected by 90 punches win this fight? How did he win? And I was in shock. I was truly in shock after I saw what I saw. I mean, I was stunned. I mean, it was a boring fight. The fight got boring to me. I mean, and Bradley was not doing his thing. Pacquiao was in complete control. In complete control throughout the course of that fight. In complete control. He dominated that particular fight. And I did watch the first three rounds with the sound down. I watched it over again. And the rounds were a little closer than I initially thought. But at the end of the day, Manny Pacquiao was the more aggressive fighter, and he was the better fighter in that particular fight. And ultimately, he should have won that fight. And I'll get back to that later, but he got robbed. You're listening to Go Forward on BlogTalkRadio.com. We're back, and we're going to be joined now by one of the stars of BET's hit series, Let's Stay Together. I mean, that's a popular show on BET, and BET is doing a great, great job now. They have the Tuesday night lineup. You got The Game at 10 o'clock, and then you got Let's Stay Together at 10:30, doing a great job, a strong, strong lineup for BET. We're going to bring him in now. Let's bring him in now, one of the stars of BET's Let's Stay Together, the one, the only, Bert Belasco. Bert, how are you, sir?
How are you, sir?
Doing well. Thanks for joining us.
Oh, man, thank you for having me. I really appreciate it.
And Bert, let's get right down to it. We got the NBA Finals going on right now. Miami Heat, Oklahoma City Thunder. Your thoughts after game one?
I don't know if there's a lot of fans on the show for Stephen A. Smith, but he made a great point. I don't know what's going on with D-Wade. That's football, the sport that I love with all my heart, man. And it's not a physical thing with D-Wade, although you hear like he got his knee drained and you hear all these things. But so sometimes, a team is just, gosh, man, Durant is just, you would think his time is coming 2 or 3 years from now. It's his time, and what I mean by it's his time, it's his team's time. I mean, you saw what they did to the Lakers, man. You saw what they did. Who thought they would win a game against the Spurs? And they made adjustments, and you saw what happened. You know what I mean? But pardon me for the noise, man. But it was. I predict, honestly, I think it's going to be a sweep.
Really?
That's just my feeling. I mean, I could be dead wrong. What adjustments are you going to make that Miami can make to stop the Thunder? What adjustments?
Well, the adjustments I was thinking is LeBron James would have to spend more time on Kevin Durant on the defensive end. That's an adjustment they're going to have to make. Adjustment number two, Chris Bosh is going to have to start. He started tonight for the Miami Heat. That's going to be the next adjustment. And ultimately, the final adjustment, and this is really not an adjustment per se, but Dwayne Wade, to your point, is going to have to step up. He's going to have to step up. And he's proven that he can in the past.
It's D. Wade. I mean, he definitely can. But here's the thing. Besides the LeBron James adjustment, all those adjustments I can see coming down, that's the goal we have over the next 2 months. You're talking about the way they've been playing for the whole playoffs and making that adjustment in a day off. And Bosh, who's coming off a pretty serious injury, and bring Stroman back into the lineup. You know what I mean? I'll ask you what you think about that one.
Well, I think Bosch now, I mean, he's had a few games to get his legs under him. Hopefully that stomach is tighter. Hopefully that stomach, that ab injury, abdominal injury, hopefully everything is right with that. But you got to put him in the lineup, and I think his ability, and I made the point earlier, but I think putting him in the starting lineup now, I think he's going to be ready to go. I think he's going to be able to play at a high level. But I think we're putting him in the starting lineup now, You make it a situation where Serge Ibaka, the shot blocker for OKC now, he has to step out and guard Bosch if he's going to guard Bosch. Or if they put Perkins on Bosch has the athletic ability to dominate Kendrick Perkins. So I think it's a great move.
Right. Now, I would completely agree with you if Bosch has been playing. It's different coming into, like, if he was injured in the last week of the NBA regular season and came in of the second series, or the beginning of the third series, to throw him back in at every level, the intensity goes up, the stakes go up, and to throw him back into the NBA Finals. Now, if he does it and proves me wrong, hey, more power to him. That's great, you know. But to be, this is not being thrown back in January or being thrown in the first round. He hasn't been. What series was the last series he played against?
Well, he played. Well, Boston. Pacers series. The Pacers series. That's when he's healthy. But the Pacers series, he did go down. Well, he went down game. What's that? Game one. He went down.
Game one. And so his first game, getting into the rhythmic flow of the game, is tonight in the second round of the NBA of the second game of the NBA Finals. I'm not talking about a physical injury necessarily. I'm talking about the mentality and the physicality to come back at this intensity into a finals game and perform the way people think you're supposed to perform. You know what I mean? You know, unless he's going to do some, you know, like, I mean, if Bosch does, like, you know, 30 points tonight, 10 or 20 points, 10, if he does 15 and 10, that's a great game for him tonight, coming off that injury.
But looking at Bosch, I mean, I think now he's got his feet under him. I mean, he's had a few games, and he knows the stage. He's been to the NBA Finals. He was there last year. So I think he knows the stage. He knows the intensity. He knows what it takes to be successful. Well, ultimately, he didn't win, but he knows what it takes to play at this level, and that is the NBA Finals. So I don't know. I mean, I think he'll be fine. I really do. I think he'll be fine.
I think if you go back, and it's probably not that serious, but if you go back to the Magic series when Jameer Nelson, that's his name, right? Jameer Nelson.
Yep. I know what you're talking about.
Yeah. I hope I said his name right. But when Nelson came back after that injury, and they tried to insert him back in the lineup, now, I'm not saying it's that off, and I'm not saying he doesn't know the stage. It's, can you do what you want to do at that time? You know what I mean? Like Dwayne Wade, he doesn't look hurt. He just looks like he doesn't have it. But you see him consistently in press conferences on the floor deferring to LeBron. Saying, hey, man, hey, listen, I'm going to take some shots, but it ain't about me scoring 30. It's about, hey, here you go. Like, I remember Doug Collins said it about Michael Jordan, and I compare none of these guys to Michael Jordan at all. But I'm saying, to beat Michael, you had to tear limb from limb and carry his carcass off the court to beat him. You know what I mean?
Right.
You know, and I think it's time now. It's enough with the deferring. Let's step up. But I still think you have not seen the Heat gel yet. And I don't know if they're going to be. And I'm going to ask you this: if they lose the series, do they come back next year? And have more time to go, or do you think that's it?
Well, the question becomes, will they stay together? And that's a tough call. I mean, I think you should still bring them back. I think you still should bring them back. I mean, Bosch, Wade, and LeBron. I mean, you're talking about Wade and LeBron. Ultimately, you're talking about arguably two of the top five players in the game of basketball.
Right.
But I will say this, and I answered you, said I would bring them back, but and thinking about it and answering this question, I'm wondering, can these two really, really play together? Because their styles are very similar. Both of those players are effective when they have the ball in their hands. They're not like Kevin Durant. Kevin Durant can do things off the dribble, but he also can do things off screens. None of these guys are coming off screens. They need the ball in their hands to be effective. So, I mean, it's an interesting question and an interesting decision that Miami and Pat Riley will have to make at the end of the season if they do not win this series.
Right.
I mean, And looking at this, I mean, even if they kept those three together, the way Oklahoma City, and I have Miami winning this series, but after game one, I'm leaning towards OKC. But I'm going to stick with my pick of Miami. But, I mean, after looking at OKC in game one and the talent that they have, the young talent, Westbrook, Durant, Harden, Ibaka, I mean, all that talent, you're wondering if anybody's going to win titles moving forward. Is OKC going to be the next dynasty?
Well, that's going to be an interesting thing going into free agency, but I'll say this. On the Miami thing, first I'll say Miami, then I'll get to OKC. On Miami, I'm not the coach. But what I would say, what I would have said to help gel is I think they have the wrong mentality. I think people are saying this is LeBron. Like D-Wade has publicly said that this is LeBron's team.
Right.
You know what I mean? And I'll help them out in any way. I would have said, listen, LeBron, yeah, they say he's the greatest and they all this stuff. LeBron is not going to say, okay, I'm gonna kill y'all tonight on the court. That's not LeBron's mentality. But if LeBron was playing with Kobe Bryant, I think they would win every championship. Why? Because Kobe would not back off to LeBron. And LeBron has no problem with Kobe being that, what he calls, the Black Mamba.
Right.
So LeBron has no problem scoring 10 points and having 15 assists, which he's capable of doing. You know what I mean?
Definitely.
I think Dwayne Wade is being too giving to a guy who wants to give. LeBron, like, people keep saying that this man is the best ever. First of all, some of the best ever. I still don't think LeBron, and I may get crucified for this, is not better than Kobe. And to ask for talent, yes. Physical ability, physical talent, physical attributes, probably the best we've ever seen. I completely agree with that. But he's not going to go out there and say, "I'm going to destroy you tonight,"
right?
Like Kobe will, like Michael will, like Karl Malone will, John Stockton will. Those guys, Magic Johnson, Isaiah Thomas, those guys destroy you. He says, "Hey man, okay, let me get everybody involved, and the world is waiting for him to be a freak of nature." You know what I mean? I mean, a freak of nature, because I think physically, the talent he has, LeBron James could average 40 points a game, 15 rebounds a game, and 10 assists a game with his talent alone.
Right.
That's not who he is. He's a, I'm going to give it to you. I'm going to give it to you. Come on, we're a team. We're a family. He's not the guy that says, shut up. Give me the ball. Give me the ball. You know what I mean?
You're saying he's more Mother Teresa instead of being Bernie Madoff.
Yes. And the problem is, man, this is my thing. It looks good, right? You look at the stat sheet. LeBron did his job, 30 points, 10 rebounds, or 25 points, 10 rebounds, five assists, and he looks great. But why aren't they winning? You know what I mean?
I think on some level we're a little too hard on LeBron James, because game one was a great performance. It was a very good performance. I don't say great because they lost. But 30 points, 9 rebounds, 4 assists. You really cannot ask for more. I mean, at this some point, and Dwayne Wade, we talked about it, Dwayne Wade has to step up. And he's getting a pass. Everybody's giving him a pass.
I agree. I see what you're saying, but watch this. I'm going to ask you this question. What if you took that body he has, same talent, same everything, and put Michael Jordan's consciousness in there? Just put that Michael Jordan, I'm not losing, in that physique.
Do you have a whole another beast that...
Okay, ready? Then how about we take Kobe Bryant's consciousness, put it in that physique?
And again, you still have a whole another beast there.
Okay.
I would agree with you.
Now let's take Dwayne Wade, 2006. Dwayne Wade and put it in LeBron James. I mean, I'm telling you this. What you're seeing, and this is, and people say I'm being too hard, and this is why I agree with Skip Bayless when he says, if you're going to call yourself king, if you're going to wear number 23, I'm going to compare you. Now, don't get me wrong. Skip sometimes hates a lot of people. Hey, I'm telling you, if I'm going to sit there and call myself, you know what I mean, I'm going to walk on the court, Bert Belasco, I'm the king. I'm the king. Witness.
That was a nickname given to him. I mean, these are things that were given to him.
But he didn't reject it.
Well, that's true. He didn't reject it.
So if you're going to take the king, you're going to wear number 23. You better damn sure play like number 23.
Well, let me ask you a question. What if I called you the king? Would you turn away from that? Would you say, no, I'm not the king. I'm the prince.
No. But it's not necessarily turning away. It's being honest. Now, remember, it was 5 years ago when LeBron James said, hey, listen, I don't have the killer instinct like Kobe. Said it publicly. I don't have that killer instinct. And I said, oh, he's halfway there to getting it. Because first when you say, like if he would have said, no, I ain't no king yet because I have no championships. You know what I mean?
Right.
Don't get me wrong, man. It's we look at 30, this is what I'm trying to say. We look at his 30, 10, and 5 and say, what more can you do? But if with that physical talent, and he's going, this is what I'm saying, he's scoring, he's doing that, those kind of stats, and he's a reserve type of player. For the most part, he's conservative. He's not a conservative. He's not a great shooter, right?
No, he's not.
He doesn't need... In this league, in this era of basketball, LeBron James, as talented as he is, does not need to take a jump shot. He could shoot 43. How do you think Michael Jordan – look, man, everybody's listening. There's a highlight of Michael Jordan's 50-point games career for every game on YouTube. Most of his baskets are free throw line and in. Jump shots for like miniature 5-foot jump shots. And I was surprised to see that. You know what I mean? Duncan, reverse layups. And LeBron, 6'9, just beast shooting like, I mean, is a very soft 6'9 who could still average 30 points a game. So imagine if he said, stop being too nice and said, give me the ball. I'm taking it to the rim every time.
Right.
Telling you, man, it would be a dream come true. So, yes, we can't say it's a little bit Dwayne Wade, but it's a little bit, and people have accepted that's not LeBron's makeup. On D Wade, I don't know what D Wade's doing, Pete. I don't know what he's doing. I don't know what he needs to step up. But you're telling me that could happen in a span of 4 games, or if they don't do well 3 games? Bruh,
I said this earlier in the show. I think if they lose tonight, they will not win this series. And the reason I said that was because of the 2-3-2 format. So you look at the next 3 games after tonight will be in Miami.
Right.
No one wins those 3 games. So Miami, at the most, will probably win 2. So if they win those 2 games, it'll be 3-2, headed back to Oklahoma City, and Oklahoma City would have 2 games basically to win the series. At home, and Oklahoma City has not lost at home this whole playoff. So Miami has to win tonight. This is a must-win game. And, Bert, at this point, Miami is up. We're in the second quarter, 44-32. So maybe that sweep that you talked about.
It may not happen, but I'm gonna say this to you. That game one, that should have been any other team, that would have been a blowout. I mean, they were hitting threes like I've never seen, man. Like they were on fire. That's the last year Dallas Mavericks type stuff they were doing. You know what I mean?
Right.
And the
funny thing about that game, though. The funny thing about that game in that second half, OKC just – and this is what scares me because I picked Miami in the series. I said it before. I'll say it again. I picked Miami, but the way they just took over that second half, they defended. and they just took that game over. They played like the better basketball team
right.
in that particular game. And it was similar to what they did in Game 6 against the Spurs. Remember that game where the
right.
Spurs
right.
were off to a great start, hitting threes left to right. Steven Jackson, some crazy numbers, 6-for-6 or 7-for-7 from downtown at one point. And then in that second half, that third quarter, OKC just took it over. They just
yeah.
took the game over. They defended. They closed all windows and doors, and they just took it over.
Yeah, yeah. But OKC's problem though, and this is why, you know, I could be wrong. This is why I'm going to give you in defense why I could, you know, playing devil's advocate, why I could be wrong. I also think Oklahoma City, as great as they are inconsistent.
True.
Are inconsistent. But at the same time, when they are on top of their game, they can beat anybody. Now, here's the thing.
Right.
Miami is nothing but inconsistent. And I feel we haven't even seen them play at the top of their game, and they're in the NBA Finals.
Right.
So there you go. You know what I mean? I just think the way things are going, the mentality, I mean, and then it's Kevin Durant. Doesn't do like a LeBron James, kind of defer to Westbrook and do all that stuff. I'm just saying, like, just team-wise, I just see Oklahoma City just, you know, my Heat can go up 20. I think Oklahoma City, if they lose, they'll lose by one. They can go up 40, but if they lose, they're going to lose by one. They're that good of a team. But I think Oklahoma's just going to come through and just steamroll. But I'm going to tell you this. I was wrong. I thought the Spurs were going to do that to him in the last round. You know what I mean?
So you're right. And
Yeah.
And talking about that series, I mean, Nostradamus, myself, I had OKC winning in six. So, I mean.
There you go, man.
And I got Miami winning this one in six. So we'll see. We'll see what happens.
I'm going to ask you a quick question. I want to go to football real quick. What do you got this year for football?
Man, I mean, it's still early. You got the OTAs and everything going, but you know what a team I'm looking at is. I might be a little biased here because I'm a fan of this ball club, but I'm looking at the Philadelphia Eagles. And last year we talked about Dream Team and all that stuff, but. And I think, you know, they were a team that, and every team didn't have the mini camps and the full training camp, but they were a team that really suffered from all that. And I think this year they don't have the pressure of being that quote-unquote dream team. They have Michael Vick, who's going to have a full off season. That's a very, very talented team. And I argued to a lot of people, and some people obviously, a lot of people would disagree, but if they would have gotten to the playoffs over the Giants, they were a team I thought that could have snuck in and got into the Super Bowl and ultimately beat the Patriots. They were a team I thought that could do that.
I think this goes back like a Heat fan. The Eagles just don't know how to play together yet, and we haven't
right.
seen their best game. You know what I mean? And you're right. I think all the records last year was a result of the defense having no, you know, a lot of the teams that went out and did what they did, you know, still have maintained the same offense, and a lot of that's probably a bad scenario, but the defense, you know, team. I mean, come on, how many quarterbacks threw for 5,000 yards last year? Brady,
right.
Green,
Stafford. Yep.
Stafford. Yeah, I mean, I think that's the product of the offseason and teams unable to make adjustments. You know, because maybe like the team I closely follow, like I follow them because of blood. My cousin is Troy Brown.
Right.
And, you know, three Super Bowl wins, so I'm always a Patriots fan, you know, he's a Patriot. So when I look at those cats, man, and it's like the more things change, the more things stay the same, you know? And you're talking about a Super Bowl appearance with the worst defense in the league.
Right.
And those guys get a full offseason now. You know, and you get to make adjustments there with Bill Belichick. I think for the Pats, the Packers. I think the Packers didn't make it just because it drops. I mean, if you saw that game, that was just ridiculous. It dropped.
It was. And a lot of people. A lot of people pointed to Joe Philbin, his son died earlier in that week. And a lot of people pointed to that, and the Packers, they were flat in that game. They were flat. They were the better team. They were better than the Giants, but they were just flat.
Right. You know, and I think both. I think the Patriots. I mean, come on, the Patriots. Love them. I love the Patriots. I'm not a homer here. I mean, they were a missed field goal of a loss. You know what I mean?
True.
Were a missed field goal and a touchdown drop for a loss. I mean, to getting kicked out in the AFC Championship. What if they would have got kicked out there? That would have been a great season. You know what I mean?
That's true.
But I have to completely agree with everything you said. Dangerous Eagles. That word and the Eagles. Although I mean, dangerous and Eagles. That's man.
And in order for me to say that, I had to take off my Eagles underwear, my Eagles T-shirt. I had to be objective. I'm being objective here. You know, but the underwear and the T-shirt had to come off before I made those statements.
I hear you, man.
And hopefully you had your Patriots underwear and the Patriots T-shirt off before you made your comment.
I'm outside. That's all I'm wearing. I'm just wearing Patriots underwear outside. People honking at me. There you go. I'm going to get a honks right now, wear Patriots underwear and some socks.
We're talking to Let's Stay Together star Bert Belasco. And Bert, let's get to the show a little bit now. Looking at the show, a successful year for you guys. You played a character, Charles, on the show. Tell us a little bit about Charles.
Well, man, Charles is, he's a laid-back guy. It's really hard to talk about Charles when he's in so many ways. We're similar, but in so many ways we're different. Because I put so much of me in Charles. It's the difference is Charles can fix anything he touches.
Okay.
You know, I'm not that guy. Charles is a guy who loves his wife. He loves his family, and he's a big kid at heart. He's a really, really lovable big teddy bear, and that's what I love about Charles. You know. Sometimes he gets back to that old state of mind, you know what I mean, of he just wants to be the man taking care of the family, his wife shouldn't have to do anything, and it was a beautiful thing. He just wants to take care of his family, and I love that about that character, and I love how lighthearted he is, and how open he is with his wife. I love that. Even when he's telling a fib, he loves his wife, and it's great, man.
And you talked about you're similar to Charles. You don't leave chicks at altars, do you?
What'd you say?
You don't leave chicks at altars, do you?
Man, you see, look, you keep bringing that up, man. That was an accident. I forgot. I left the thing in the car. I was just in shock, so I didn't have time to say, hey, listen, I left this in the car. So I just ran out thinking I'd be right back. But obviously y'all saw what happened. So on to season two, and as you know, we got ended last week, and now thankfully we got word that we have a season three. So you know, very excited about that. You know,
and have you guys started shooting yet for season three?
No, we don't shoot, man. We shoot hopefully in August. Hopefully in August or sometime, but you know, we won't know. They'll call us and say, hey, get ready, get packed, and then they'll send us off, man, because we shoot so fast. We shoot two episodes a week. So I got to get two scripts.
Wow.
Ready every week. So that's the challenge of that, man. That's the challenge. So, but it's quick. It's fun. We have a blast together, you know, and every year we're getting better as best performers and you know, giving the audience some great things, man, some great moments every year. And excited for season two and see what we got in store, you know.
And are we going to see anything different? I know you guys haven't shot anything, but anything you had? Have you heard of any talks of anything different?
Oh well, hey man, that season finale, you know, Troy's back, so I don't know. I'm excited to see what happens there with Troy and Tosh and Jamal. That's going to be an interesting thing, and you know what happens with me. I don't. The Charles after he got caught on sneakers, man. So I don't know. But different. I mean, there's things I would love, you know, to see more of that interaction of like the drama you saw in a little bit in the beginning of that second. I really love that scene, that situation with Joyful Drake and Christian Seed Enrico Lee, that triangle thing. I really enjoyed that. I wish we would have kept that throughout the season. But, you know, he had to keep moving, and I didn't know what they were going to do, and I thought they were going to drop it, and they brought it back in the season finale, which was a great thing. So,
right.
Yeah, man. So, I mean, that's going to be some I'm excited to see where we go with that. Really, really am, you know?
And you look at it Tuesday nights, I talked about it. BET has a great lineup. You got the game at 10, and you guys at 10:30. I mean, that's a great lineup for BET right now.
Yeah, it is. You know, I really, really wish we could get earlier, but then when you think about it, man, it's just, you know, I don't know how that works. I wish we could come on at like 9:30. but hey, man, we're doing well at 10:30. The game's doing well at 10. So, you know, bringing in 2 million viewers a week and you know, the game's doing their thing, and, you know, you just keep on going and pray something happens, man, and hopefully, you know, just excited for let's say, the other season 3 and also the next few projects. You know, we'll see what happens, man.
Right, definitely. And what do you got going on outside of Let's Stay Together?
Outside of Let's Stay Together, I mean, honestly, you know, and I said this publicly, hopefully something happens. You know, my dream role, man, would be getting on Ghostbusters 3, you know.
Okay.
But you know, that's such a long ways away of getting made with Bill Murray in the situation and the script being really, really good and hopefully, you know, seeing if they sign with him. And, you know, there's a couple projects, hopefully this Gerard Butler movie, I don't know if it's going to happen or not, but, you know, you just take your time and do what you can do and do the best work you can, and then if they love you, they love you. If they don't love you, they love you, and, they go with somebody else.
Right,
so,
right.
You see what happens. So, but right now, my eyes, what I'm really, 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 really would love to have happen is, man, if you can make anything happen, man, it'd be Ghostbusters 3. So,
Ghostbusters 3.
Oh, that's the dream, man. I'm just keeping that dream alive, hoping Bill signs the dotted line and we can come to some deal and I can be one of the new Ghostbusters hopefully someday. But that's, you know, it's a dream job we got hoping, you know, we got in the horizon if everything works out.
Definitely, definitely. And it's always good to have dreams. Always good to have dreams.
You know, it's better when they come true.
Definitely, definitely. And we saw you a couple years ago, one of the biggest commercials during the Super Bowl with Betty White.
Yeah, yeah.
So how much fun was that?
That was a blast. You know, I remember sitting there when we were doing it. You know, we were there from 5 o'clock. Man, that was a rough time in my life. Personally, I ain't trying to get melodramatic. It just was. You know, as an actor, you know, you have giant ups, man, and those downs can be just as big. You know what I mean?
Right.
And one minute, I remember, you know, I was homeless at one point. And then the next minute, you get an apartment and something good happens. You know, like I used to do video games. I did God of War 3 and NBA The Life, a couple of those. And that was, you know, all the video games were not happening anymore. Things were really slow and about to, you know, lose my apartment and couldn't afford my car payment. And I get this commercial, and there's rumor that it's going to be a Super Bowl commercial. And Betty, I didn't even know Betty White was going to be in it. I didn't know. And then she walks on the field, and we're doing the thing, and when we're shooting it, I see what we're shooting. And I'm like, this is going to be hilarious. If this is done right, it's going to be hilarious. I'm not saying that because I did it. I'm just observing. Like, this is going to be hilarious if this is done right. And they edited it beautifully. They did a great job with everything, you know, and it worked. And a funny story is, couldn't afford a haircut, and didn't have cash to get gum that day. So they would have told me go, you know, they say they had nowhere to cut my hair. So they would have said before then you need to go get a haircut. I probably would have lost a job because I couldn't afford
one,
you know.
Wow.
And no one on the set could, you know, I mean, would. You know, they had all these people who did nice, long, straight hair. And I have this curly, big curls and all that stuff. So I ended up doing that. I was there from 5 a.m. to 6:44 p.m.
Wow.
We shot in it was hot. We shot it. Right after that, I had to go to my waiting job. And then a couple weeks later, it aired, the commercial. And then the next morning, man, I got all these texts and and everything was blowing up and blowing up and blowing up and blowing up and telling me it was the number one commercial. And then 3 weeks later, you know, was waiting for a video game to kick in. I think the video game was Killzone 3. And I booked my series. I booked Let's Say Together. So I had to turn down Killzone 3, which I really wanted to do. And so, but of course, you're going to turn that down for a series regular. So, you
right.
know, that just, you know, I just justified a month before that commercial, did the commercial. Then a month after that, I got Let's Say Together and everything, you know. Man, and now just working on the career and working on getting work and on the all time, you know what I'm doing, what you doing, man, watching sports, talking, you know, love talk sports, man.
Definitely,
so,
definitely. And cousin, during that rough time, cousin Troy couldn't help you.
Man, you know what? I tell you, bro, you be so. Hey, he helps me by giving me the best advice ever on how to, like,
right.
you know, be like, he'll be like, Bert, now you see why when you get money. Now that you know this feeling, now, you know, because he's very good. He's very good with money. He would always tell me this great advice. He's, man, when you get your stuff, be good with your money, take care of yourself, get what you need. You can set aside what you want. And as hard as that is, I mean, you know, you got to, those are valid points, man. And Troy was a guy who has that kind of success, knows how to handle it and pass that information on to me. And yeah, I mean, having that guy, and he just got he's in the Hall of Fame, the Patriot Hall of Fame. So
okay,
so that's going to be announced in September. So you know, he just is a big influence in terms of how to handle myself. You know, I mean, he wasn't getting caught up with, you know, drugs and doing stupid stuff, and you know, he was just a role model to me and people, the people that watch him. So yeah, that's
right.
The benefit. Yeah, so now I'm just trying to make him proud, and my family proud, my dad proud, and, you know, and my mom upstairs proud, and we'll see what happens, you know what I mean?
And you said you were close to being homeless. You're saying if that Betty White commercial does not happen, you're probably in the street somewhere at this point?
For the second time.
For the second time, okay.
For the second time, yeah. And I'm being real. The first time, when you're homeless for the first time, and you have big dreams, you're not really homeless. Like, I'm sitting there parking my car, sleeping in front of the theater, dreaming like, yeah, I'm going to have my premiere here someday. There's going to be a story, and you're excited. You don't
right.
realize you're homeless. You really don't. You're just in a state of awe. And when you know, it is cute when you're 22, 23, 24 years old, but when you get that apartment and that debt and those people keep calling you and you have no means, you know, the repo guy's getting ready to go, it's weird. As soon as things hit their worst, I mean, I'm owing unemployment money, bro. It was bad. It was a really, really rough time, man. And you stay true. You stay, you know, you know, I didn't do projects that, you know, would put me that I thought was in a bad light. And I'm not saying I won't do anything, but if it doesn't speak to me, I don't want to do it. You know
right.
what I mean? And that's just how I feel. I can't give you my best if it doesn't speak to me and I don't want to do it. So that's another reason why you want to be good with your money, you know? but yeah, so it's if I didn't get that, you could say you get a 9-to-5, but then I couldn't, when am I going to audition? You know what I mean?
Right.
But I was auditioning so much, I couldn't keep a job. And I had
right.
a job, but they weren't taking care of that. I was a waiter, but that wasn't helping me out for what I, you know, for my income and all that, for what I had to, for my apartment. It's expensive in L.A., bro. And there's a lot of waiters who make it, and there's a lot who don't. And since then, I had a lot of friends who have left, who quit, who deal with the same thing I have. But it makes you a better artist, man. It makes you have a blast, but you take it very seriously. You know,
okay.
and you know, there's people come up on the street and say, I want to be an actor, and I want to do this. And he goes, I just go, do you really, do you want to be successful at acting, or do you want to be an actor? Everybody
right.
wants to be successful at acting. And you go to any school, go to a classroom and say, who wants to be successful at what they want to do? How many people are not going to raise their hand?
Obviously.
You know?
Everybody.
Obviously. Yeah. So that's the stuff. So when people, I tell you, anybody out there that wants to be an actor, you got to make sure you, like Bobby De Niro told my dad, my dad's, you know, my dad was helping me out as much as he could. And my dad said to Robert O'Neill, he said, what can I do? What advice would you give my son? And Bobby said to my dad, he said, your son is not going to make it until he is at his lowest, until he starves,
wow.
until he is at the brink of giving up. And
okay.
Lo and behold, I remember saying, when my dad told me that, I kind of was really mad. I said, I don't believe that. I didn't use those words. But I said, I don't agree with that, Dad. And I said, I can make it because I know I can do it. But when I starved and I still kept moving forward, you know, I got
right.
up and just, and things happened, man. And I'm talking to you now.
That's exactly.
If I didn't get the Betty White commercial, you don't want to talk to me.
You know, yes, I would. Yes, I would.
If I don't get LinkedIn together, it doesn't go to this. If I don't get that, that wouldn't give me the credibility to meet up with Harold Ramis to talk about a movie or Bill Murray or Jeffrey Wright or, you know what I mean?
Right.
Yeah,
definitely.
You know, it steps.
And looking at it now, a funny thing you talked about, one of your stories you talked about in terms of you didn't have money to get a haircut, and I was on BET.com looking at an old interview with you, and they were talking about your lineup and how thorough your lineup is.
Brother, all that stuff came with the beauty of being on a show.
Right.
I have a great barber. The first season we had Micah Maryland, who was an amazing barber, and the second season we had our boy Jigga, who came in and does my hair. And they do my hair every day. I get up every day. They make sure every curl is where it's supposed to be. Every line is straight. I don't get that every morning, man. But my personal barber, Brett, comes over every year, but I got to pay Brett.
Right.
So yeah, let's stay together. They make sure, I'm sleeping for 8 hours, right? I wake up in the show. It's morning time. My hair is tight. Come on. So you're right, man. But that's the beauty and power of television. One day you
Definitely.
Wake up and you're like, I remember walking into the premiere of it. Nobody knew who I was. The premiere. I'm walking. I'm with my dad. Nobody's stopping. I'm just hanging out, not even noticing it. I walk out and change just like that. Change just
wow.
like that. You know what I mean?
And that's what it's like
for an actor.
I guess the girls are calling now too.
Hey man, I'm gonna be so real. I'm just so focused. I'm so focused. I'm looking. My girl is what Will, Denzel, and all those legends have.
Okay.
You know what I mean?
Okay.
And I'm preparing myself for my girl.
Okay, definitely in it. And that's always a good thing.
That's always a good thing, man.
And real quickly now, where can fans connect with you? I know you have a Twitter.
Yeah, Belasco8. That's
Belasco8.
My Twitter, man. Yeah. And it's, you know, we're doing that, and it's a beautiful thing, man. I'm loving what we're doing, loving everything that's happening. I just started tweeting not too long ago. And I don't tweet like, you know, I'm walking down the street. You know what I mean? I tweet stuff
right.
that is important for me. So, like, if
right.
I have to say something, I'll tweet. So if I have to say something for a month and I say something, you know, if I say something like, man, life is good, you know what I mean? I'll say something or just that speaks to me. I might just going to say something just so people can, so I can just be randomly talking. You know what I mean?
Definitely.
I love Chad Ocho Single, but I'll let him do that.
Fans, make sure you connect with this man, Belasco8 on Twitter, Burt Belasco.
Yeah.
It was a pleasure talking to you, man. We wish you nothing but the best of luck in all that you do. Hopefully, you get that Ghostbusters role, and let's do this again.
Yeah, man, I love you, brother. You be well, man. You be well.
All right,
yeah, man.
Take care.
Great show. You too, bro. All right.
Make sure you follow me on Twitter.
You know it, man. Always.
All right. Burt Belasco, one of the stars of Let's Stay Together. It was a pleasure talking to him. Interesting story. I mean, a man was this close to being homeless, and lo and behold, things happened for him, and now he's one of the stars of a popular show on BET, Let's Stay Together, airs each and every Tuesday, 10:30 Eastern, 9:30 Central, only on BET. They have a great Tuesday night lineup with The Game at 10 o'clock, and Let's Stay Together at 10:30. I want to thank, and again, I want to thank Bert Belasco for joining us. Make sure you follow him on Twitter, at Belasco8. Also, we want to thank the great Willie Rofe for joining us as well. You can listen to this show and other great shows at blogtalkradio.com/PGAN, where you can listen to this great show and other great shows. Make sure you follow me on Twitter, at GoForItGAN. We'll be back on Saturday. At this point, expected to be joined by Carolina Panthers linebacker Thomas Davis, and we're working on a few others, so we shall see. But we'll see you back here on Saturday, 1 o'clock Eastern time at blogtalkradio.com/PGAN. For everybody here at Go Forward, hopefully you're enjoying the NBA Finals. I'm going to be enjoying it. I'm going to be watching it closely now as I'm off the air, but I'll be watching it there. But again, follow me on Twitter at GoForItGAN and make sure you listen to the show at blogtalkradio.com/PGAN. For everybody here at GoForIt, have a great night. See you later. See you Saturday, 1 o'clock Eastern time on blogtalkradio.com/PGAN. See you later. Bye.